bring in right now bullying prevention specialist Lorna Blumen. You know, you see a good side of the NFL yesterday with lots of good games, but, you know, it's not always the case. Some stuff going on behind the scenes this year. Not the greatest news coming out of the NFL, right?
Absolutely. Hi, Bob. Hi, Chris. Sorry.
How are you doing this morning, Lorna?
Very well. Very well.
Good, good. So, bullying preventing specialist, author of Bullying Epidemic, Not Just Child's Play. What are some of those things, you know, you're seeing coming to light, you know, especially out of the NFL this year that, you know, probably have been going on for a long time, but, you know, we're finally just starting to hear about them now?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. None of this is new behavior in sports at any level. But there's a real problem with it ratcheting up over time. And when we don't have a clear sense of where the limits are, it could be very easy to go past that. And we've seen that time and time again, you know, not just in the NFL, in National Hockey League, Todd Bertuzzi. You know, we create a lot of these tough guys, and then, you know, they take that final step over the line, and then we land on them like a ton of bricks going, oh, you're a terrible person for doing that. But we don't look at what we do to create and enable and look the other way.
So you talked about kind of that, you know, macho persona that a lot of these professional athletes have to, you know, kind of portray to able to, you know, be successful in the professional sports here. But, you know, there's a very kind of different side effect, you know, the mental side of things that comes into play because, you know, bullying, it's not always just physical, right?
That's right. And a big portion of what we've seen in the Martin and Incognito story is how much of it is not physical, and it can be equally damaging. I mean, to be even an adult and receive thousands of text messages that are insulting and demeaning, that's pretty tough on anybody, you know, and we certainly see that in kids bullying as well. The other problem is we know now that bullying can actually cause brain damage. And it's been studied more in kids than in adults, but when we do brain scans of kids who have been repetitively bullied, we see that they have the same kind of brain changes, physiological brain changes that you see in the brains of neglected and abused kids. And this can make a big difference, not just in their psychological well-being going forward, but also in their physical well-being. Because one of the things that happens in this kind of brain damage is that your hormones, your stress hormones, get affected. And it can actually cause, for example, lower levels of testosterone, which are important for both boys and girls, obviously higher levels in boys. But if you don't have the levels of testosterone that you need during your growth years, you won't grow as tall as you're supposed to. Your muscle mass will not develop as big as it is supposed to. So they're both physical and psychological aspects to bullying.
And it seems like a kind of thing that kind of can perpetuate itself. You know, if you have been bullied, you're maybe more likely to, you know, act out on that, and that kind of carries on, you know, from person to person. Is that, you know, something that you see in your field of work?
Definitely. And you see it both in the sense that when people have been bullied, they grow up thinking that this is normal, and whether they grow up as kids or grow up as adults, in other words, they just accept that this is the normal level of behavior. And then there's also a bit of the revenge or trying to set the, you know, balance the scales a bit in kids who have been bullied, who are much more likely to be bullies as well. And frankly, kids who are bullied in one area of life are more likely to allow themselves to be bullied in other areas of life. But I would really look to the adults as the gatekeepers here, that the adults have to do a better job of setting the limits, of being clear and consistent about where the limits are. Because I'm not saying we shouldn't have contact sports. I'm not saying we shouldn't have competitive sports. In fact, just the opposite. Our brains do better. Our brains develop better when we have that kind of sparring and, you know, close contact, and whether it's verbal or physical, it's good for our brain development and our physical development. But we got to do a better job setting limits.
You talk about the normalcy, and I think, you know, within the NFL, there's a certain sense of what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. But how do you kind of, you know, fight that perception that, you know, once those doors are closed, nothing, you know, is supposed to come out of there, when, you know, we see that there's, you know, serious things that go on in locker rooms, like which what happened with Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito?
I think you've raised a really important and serious aspect of this. I think that code of silence does not apply in all cases. And this is exactly where we need to know where the limits are, okay? And that is something that needs to be taught. Really, it has big implications for how we coach kids in sports as well, that there is a piece about team bonding that is so important. And, in fact, bullying does a lot to destroy team cohesion. So, you know, at a very basic level, even if you don't care about the individual human beings, which you should, the team cohesion gets torn apart when people are always in fear of being bullied, too. It's just not a good way to build your best, you know, teamwork.
And, I mean, they talk about with championship teams, one of the best things that they have going for them is team chemistry, and it's impossible to do that if you have that kind of thing going on behind the scenes.
You're so right. You want to feel that your teammates have your back, and you want to feel that you're common. I hate to use the word enemy, okay, because honestly I think that's really what gets us into a lot of trouble, because when you define the other guys as the enemy, then it's very easy to make the excuse that anything goes and whatever you do is acceptable. I don't think that's right.
So, you know, if parents are looking at this situation within the NFL on the Miami Dolphins, you know, from both sides of things, how can they kind of, you know, take that real-life scenario that, you know, the children might have heard of and, you know, pass it on to their kids with the right message to send to them?
It's a fantastic opportunity to open a conversation with your kids and with other adults, for that matter, to say, look, there are things that everybody does that are great and that we admire, and then there are things that people do that aren't so great. And sometimes in everybody's life you cross the line. And sometimes you're so close to the line you don't realize you've crossed it until it's too late. That's another message for us as the adults. The limit should be set well inside the line of acceptable behavior. But I think it's a beautiful opportunity for parents and kids and for adults in general to talk about, this is an opportunity for team support. Honestly, you know, there's a team culture that created the behavior of someone like Incognito, and we need to say, hey, it isn't just Incognito as one isolated person. We got to look at what we're creating as a team that either encourages people to behave that way or encourages more team cohesion and protection. And so I think those are great opportunities for discussion.
Lorna Blumen, bullying prevention specialist, joining us this morning on today's Talk 1490. Is it something that you recommend, you know, coaches address with their team, like, you know, one of the first days of the season, talking about, you know, what the expectations are within the locker room? Or does that kind of think more of what happens with the parents of the children on the team?
I think the responsibility belongs everywhere. I think it definitely belongs with the coaches, and I think it should extend well past the first day, because if you only mention it on the first day and never refer to it again, and then all incidents of bullying and pushing too far get ignored, people get a pretty clear message that even though the no bullying sign is hanging in the locker room, the reality is that we do tolerate it. So I think that coaches also have an opportunity to coach kids on how to handle the emotional aspects of team sports, that emotional cascade of those brain chemicals, adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, that drive you to perhaps lose focus on balance. And just like we can coach kids with the playbook, kids can learn how to execute very complex plays. With practice, they need emotional coaching. They can learn how to handle that cascade of brain chemicals and learn how to stay inside the emotional lines as well.
I'm sure, you know, there are parents out there that have kind of an idealistic hope of what they, you know, goes on with their kids' teams and, you know, within the locker room. But, you know, what are kind of those things that, you know, when you tell parents are, you know, the first warning signs of what, you know, isn't something that the kind of the line that the cross that, you know, the parents should start to be concerned?
Sure. I think, you know, we have to look at the behavior of the coaches, and we also have to look at the behavior of teammates towards one another. I think when there is an excessive amount of, you know, berating, yelling, screaming at players, when one player is always being held up as, you know, not having good enough skills, things like that, you know, there's always going to be different levels on a team, and there are going to be new team members and more experienced team members, and we have to help one another. I think, you know, when people are blamed for, you know, for their mistakes, insults, obviously, the kinds of, you know, insults that are related to their game capabilities, their sports capabilities, or in other areas. And anytime someone really feels threatened and uncomfortable, we all have a pretty good gut feeling for where the line is, but we need to speak up. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to speak up and to walk away and to do what Jonathan Martin did. That was under a lot of pressure.
I mean, certainly at the highest level like that in the NFL. And, you know, I played sports all growing up, you know, through high school, and I had coaches that maybe yelled a little bit more, but I never felt like it got to that line where, you know, you needed to speak up. It wasn't, you know, anything like that. But, you know, it's just, you think as we kind of get more familiar with, you know, the bullying that does go on and more people, you know, start to speak up, you'll hopefully see things, you know, start to get better and less of this happening?
I hope so. You know, in life, we got to be able to roll with the ups and downs of life. Everything isn't perfect, and you're not always matched in sports or in life with your best coach, the best coaching style that fits for you personally. So we have to be flexible about stuff like that, but we also have to have a clear view of where the line is. And as our thinking about what constitutes bullying has changed, and our view about violence in sports is changing, we have to recognize that those kinds of changes take a bit of time. Just like we used to think it was okay to drink and drive, we used to think it was okay to smoke. First you start to change your thinking, and then it takes a while for everybody's behavior to come in line. And that just takes a while. But when kids know we're serious, when team players know that team management is serious about creating an environment where bullying is not allowed, then eventually they stop testing. They get the idea.
So a situation like what would happen with the Miami Dolphins, Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, you know, some of the details come out are kind of shocking and abhorrent, but in the long run, you know, it could be a good thing to kind of set, you know, kind of a precedent of what can, you know, what, you know, kids that are bullying, you know, can do to help stop that, right?
I totally agree. I think we have to look at all of our mistakes as wonderful opportunities to learn and to go forward knowing, we made some mistakes here, but you know what? Here are the three takeaway points that we're going to try and put into practice. So I think it's really hopeful. I think it's really encouraging, and I think we are, as a society, moving towards that tipping point on bullying where we are beginning to look at where bullying shows up all over society. Sports is like another workplace, too. So honestly, there's, as you well know, and this is a whole other show, you know, an enormous problem with workplace bullying in general.
Mm-hmm. Bullying prevention specialist Lorna Blumen. If people want more information, resources about, you know, what to do if they think they're in a situation or they know someone that might be bullied, where would you direct them to go?
Sure. Our website, bullyingepidemic.com, has resources on a variety of types of bullying. In fact, right now on the website is a free download about how bullying causes brain damage. There's an article there. I have a couple of books out on bullying prevention. A new one's coming out actually this week on Kindle. They're both in the Bullying Epidemic series. I think even just Googling, you know, bullying prevention at work, bullying prevention in sports will get you a good list of, you know, tips and ideas, you know, for how to draw the line. And every team is a little bit different, so start where you feel you're, you know, you can have some successes, some small changes, and then work on the bigger problems.
The book's called Bullying Epidemic, www.bullyingepidemic.com, Bullying Prevention Specialist Lorna Blumen. We appreciate your time this morning joining us on today's Talk 1490.
Thanks a lot, Chris.